And a very happy Easter. Celebrate. Welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel, which comes to us from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. First thing, some big points about the evangelists and the synoptics and John, of course, have differences, big differences. But all the evangelists have the empty tomb proclamation narratives. In other words, coming to the tomb, finding it empty, being told he's not here, he is risen. Those would be common to all. But then there's resurrection appearance narratives. And these are stories about the disciples meeting Jesus. And in John, of course, they're slightly different. And he has this story of meeting Thomas, which is unique to him. A very big story, probably a famous story, because even the word doubting Thomas has entered into our language. Unjustifiably, when you think of it, because he's not just a Thomas who doubted, but a Thomas who professed a very firm kind of belief based on the evidence of meeting Christ, seeing Christ. So his witness is very sure and very sound. There are also other differences in John's account of the resurrection, the appearances of Christ. There's the story, there's the list of gifts that the risen Lord brings: peace, joy, and forgiveness. There's a very strong identity of the risen Christ with the crucified Christ. So he's seen as the same, but yet transformed. And then thirdly, you'll hear it in this section, the blessedness of all who believe. This was important for John, writing at the end of the first century, when there were maybe three or four generations of Christian believers who would have looked back at the early believers as having it easy, because they met Christ, they heard his voice, they saw him after the resurrection. Now, going through the text, first verse even, in the evening of that same day, the first day of the week. Now that's an interesting use of language, because first day of the week brings us to the creation in Genesis. On the first day of the week, God said, "Let there be light." And the first day of the week is the beginning of creation. It's a Sunday. It's the start of a whole new creation, the new creation of arisen people, people filled by the Spirit. So the first gift is mentioned there at the end of that first verse: peace be with you. That's his first gift. And he shows them his hands and his side. And that identity with Jesus that they would have known, and this risen Jesus, is clear. This is the Lord. And the Lord is the same as the risen Jesus. The risen Jesus is the same as the Lord. And the disciples were then filled with joy, the second gift that he brings, when they saw the Lord. And he says to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so am I sending you." You could say, "Just as the Father sent me, so am I sending you." So the mission of Jesus that was given to him by his Father is continued in the mission of the disciples. After saying this, he breathed on them. That breathing again reflects the creation, when the Lord breathed over creation, brought it to life. And he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that's the third gift. There's peace, joy, the Holy Spirit. "For those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven." That's the fourth gift, the forgiveness of sins. And this gift of giving forgiveness for sins, in our Catholic tradition, we associate that with the sacrament of penance, and it's given by the minister in the sacrament of penance, who's a priest. But this gift is given to the whole community. So John is describing the community that he was living amongst at the end of the first century as having this gift of forgiveness. This is one of the things that characterized his community, this gift of forgiveness. For those whose sins you retain, they are retained. So there's a capacity there for not just forgiving all sins, but discerning which can be forgiven and which shouldn't be forgiven. So then Thomas, called the twin, who was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. When the disciples said, "We have seen the Lord," he answered, "Unless I see the holes that the nails made in his hands and can put my finger into the holes they made, unless I can put my hand into his side, I refuse to believe." So it's a conditional belief that Thomas has. "I will believe if..." So at this point, he refuses to believe. So 8 days later, a week later, we're back to the day of creation, back to Sunday, the first day of the week, second Sunday of Easter. The disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. The doors were closed, but Jesus came in and stood among them. So Jesus can go where he wants. This risen Jesus can go through closed doors. But he stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." Then he spoke to Thomas and gives them instructions. "Put your finger here." So the Lord is answering Thomas's questions and doubts as they are. He's not giving off to him for not having faith. He's accepting where his faith is at. "I will believe if..." So there's a partial journey made by Thomas in the direction of full faith. And Jesus meets him and invites him further by giving him these instructions. "Put your finger here. Give me your hand." And then he invites him, "Doubt no longer, but believe." Now the text doesn't say Thomas did what Jesus asked. He didn't put his finger in the wounds. But he replies, "My Lord and my God." Now this is one of the earliest creeds of the church. In fact, it's based on what loyal Roman citizens would have said about their emperor, Domitian. He made a decree around about this time, the end of the first century, that he should be addressed, when you hear this, as our Lord and our God. So that's a subversive text right there. "My Lord and my God," Thomas said, saying of Jesus. And then this beatitude: "You believe because you can see me. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe." So that's a very important thing for people to know at the end of the first century. It's a very important thing for people in the beginning of the 21st century to know. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe. There then follows a very interesting week section here. There are many other signs that Jesus worked and there the disciples saw, but that they are not recorded in this book, which shows that when John wrote this, he had to decide what to include and what to leave out. And his main priority was the identity of Jesus, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing this and accepting this, you may have life through his name. That's the whole point of John's gospel. It comes at the end of this 20th chapter. And scholars would say this was the end originally of the gospel. But then John himself added a 21st chapter to conclude his gospel. So it's a very interesting section here on the first Sunday after Easter, the Divine Mercy Sunday, or the second Sunday of Easter. So here are some things to discuss among you all. Thomas, with his doubting and questioning, is probably a person that all of us can identify with. So what part have doubting and questioning played on your own faith journey? How has your faith been strengthened by such moments? Another one. Note the way that Jesus dealt with Thomas. He didn't give out to him because he doubted. He accepted how he felt and led him along to see the truth of his resurrection. Who has been that kind of teacher for you, gently taking you where you were and leading you to a deeper knowledge about some truth about life? And maybe a third question, for whom have you been that kind of teacher? So God bless you on this Easter season as you gather to consider the words of Scripture. And we'll pray. God of life, source of all faith, through the waters of baptism you have raised us up in Christ and given us life that endures. Day by day, refine our faith that we who have not seen the Christ may truly confess him as our Lord and our God and share the blessedness of those who believe. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen.